Hey everyone, how's it going? This is Azarin the Language Nerd here. I'm the owner of the Calgary Language Nerds, and welcome to today's podcast episode. It is quite late at night as I'm recording this episode right now. It is 2:49 in the morning, which is pretty late even for a night owl like me. Because of that, this is going to be a shorter and more concise podcast episode than usual. I would like to first share a couple of pieces of advice for improving your speaking ability in another language. And then I would like to share a couple of life observations that I've made and a couple of things I've been thinking about that have nothing to do with language learning. Let's start with some advice for improving your speaking. First of all, I believe it's important for everyone to ask themselves the following question. How much time do you spend speaking with another person in your target language, ideally a fluent or a native speaker? Do you spend 0 hours a week? Is it 2 hours a week, 1 hour a week, 20 hours a week? Is it 1 hour every 2 weeks? How much time do you spend actually speaking with another person who is a fluent or native speaker? If you're not doing a lot of practice with another person or other people, well, the most basic and most effective thing I could probably tell you to do is to practice more with native or at least fluent speakers. It could be a tutor, it could be a language exchange partner, it could be a friend or a family member, although with friends and family it often doesn't work out very well because you have such a habit of speaking in your first language. But that's the most basic thing I can say. If you're not doing a lot of speaking practice and you want to get better at your speaking, well, the most basic and the most straightforward piece of advice I can give you is you need to do more speaking practice. Now, let's say you are doing a certain amount of speaking practice. You're not doing zero speaking practice. What are some things you can do to get the most out of your speaking practice sessions? There's a few things. First of all, make sure you practice with people that you are comfortable with. If you feel anxious with the people or the person that you practice with, that's going to cause you a problem. You won't be able to speak nearly as fluently as if you are speaking with someone that you don't feel anxious with or that you feel comfortable with. So make sure you maximize the amount of time you spend practicing your speaking with people that you feel comfortable with. If you are around people that you don't feel comfortable with, do what you can to make yourself more at home or more at ease. That will help you quite a bit. Now, the other thing when it comes to speaking, especially for the intermediate and advanced learners, is you want to make sure that you are practicing with different people, not just one person or the same two people. Here's a quick story for you. A couple years back, I had a friend circle here in Calgary, and they were all native Mandarin speakers. There were three or four of them that I hung out with regularly. Of that group of four, three of them I understood without any major difficulties. We could talk, I would understand what they said. Every now and then, there was a word I wouldn't recognize or I didn't quite understand what they said, but generally, I understood. However, in that group, there was one person who I only understood about 50% of what she said. And it was useful for me to spend time with this individual who I didn't really understand. First of all, it was a reminder that it's okay to be in an uncomfortable position where you feel, what's the word? You feel like a beginner. It's okay to be in a beginner position where you feel a little bit embarrassed. That's good. A little bit of that is a good thing. You don't want too much because too much will become overwhelming, but a little bit of that is good. So it was a reminder of that. A little bit of that embarrassment, a little bit of that adversity will, in the long term, actually accelerate how quickly you learn. Becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable. Or rather, I'll put it this way, the more comfortable you are with being uncomfortable, the faster you will tend to learn. So it was a good reminder of that. And second of all, because she used all these words I just didn't know, I was able to expand my vocabulary, or increase my vocabulary rather, quite rapidly just by hanging out with her. So if you're an intermediate or advanced speaker, try talking with more than just one or two people that you're usually comfortable speaking with. That will help a lot. On the beginner side of things, I don't think that's quite as important. I don't think you need to have a wide variety of people that you speak with. In fact, my initial gut feeling, I could be wrong about this one, but just based on my personal experience, I think in the initial phases, it's probably better just to speak with a very small group of people, or maybe even just one person. For example, when I was learning French, although I spoke with a number of people, let me give a different example. When I was in France learning French, even though I spoke with a number of people in school, my teachers, my friends' friends, and so on and so forth, the main people I spoke to were this one French friend I had. He was my French exchange student. I spoke with his family. There was a very small group of people that I spoke with, and that was beneficial for me. Spanish, a very similar story. Even as a beginner, I spoke really with one person primarily. There's one person that I have to thank for a significant percentage of my progress. Her and her family, actually, because I spent some time with her family in Peru. So I think as a beginner, you don't necessarily have to try to practice with a whole bunch of people. In fact, I think there are a number of benefits of practicing just with one, two, three, a very small group of people. Transitioning here to the second half of the podcast, I want to share an observation in my life that hopefully can be beneficial to some of the listeners today. The observation is around putting out as much good as possible in the world. As much good as possible in the world. This is something I've been thinking a lot about through my meditations and through my journaling. I've mentioned a few times I've been meditating and journaling a lot recently. I've been struggling, or at least struggling's not the right word. I've been thinking a lot about how does one put out the most possible good that he or she can. It's a complicated question. It's a difficult question to answer. It's not an easy question to answer whatsoever. First of all, what does it mean to put out good? That's hard as it is. Second of all, you need to be strategic about how you put out good. If you truly want to maximize how much good you're putting out in the world, you actually need to be strategic about it, because you only have so much time, you only have so many resources, and so you have to use your time, allocate your time effectively. Third of all, you have to realize that your capacity, this is the first time I'm articulating this, I hope I can do it clearly, your capacity for good, or doing good, is limited by your own skills. And it's limited by your own capacity. So I'll give you an example from my world. Let's say I decided, okay, the best way for me to do good is to run a large nonprofit that solves a major problem in the world. Maybe I decide I want to start a large nonprofit that makes a serious dent in removing world hunger or thirst. I think there's something like 900 million people that don't have access to clean water, or 800 million people, it's something like that, on the planet that don't have access to clean water. So if I wanted to make a dent and reduce that to 500 million or something like that, that sounds like a noble goal, for example. And that's a lot of good that one person could put out in the world. But in order to do that, you'd have to be a very skilled human. You would need to know, first of all, how to solve that problem. It's a complex problem. You'd have to dissect why do people not have access to water? How can I solve that? I need to figure out how can I get people to donate to my charity. That's a marketing problem. So if you're not a strong marketer, you're not going to be able to get those, the donations that you would need and generate the funds that you would need. You need to use those funds efficiently. That's a very complex problem to solve. So the amount of good that one person can put out is limited by their own skills and what their own capacity. Skills is probably the right word. Their own skills and experience. That's probably the right way to put it. So as I've been thinking about, okay, I want to do as much good as I can while I'm on this earth. First of all, I have to define what that means. Second of all, I have to be strategic about it. And third of all, I had a hard look at myself in the mirror the other day and I realized, man, I'm limited by the skills I have. I have a lot of skills, of course, but there's so many other things I could learn that I don't have, that I'm bad at, that if I could figure them out, I could do so much more. So that's something I've been thinking a lot about. A practical thing that I want to do more, and I don't do enough of this, but it's something you can do, I can do, literally anyone can start doing immediately, is to compliment people more often. Now, and when I say compliment people, what I personally picture is funerals. So at a funeral, when someone passes away, people stand up and they give speeches and they talk about, they share these opinions that they have about the person who passed away. They'll say, oh, I remember this story. So-and-so was so generous. So-and-so was so kind. So-and-so was so this. So-and-so. I apologize for that beeping in the background. I don't know if you can hear it or not. There's a dryer running. But anyway, so-and-so was so kind or generous or this or that or smart or whatever people would say about the person who passed away. Those kinds of comments that you might say about someone when they're not here anymore, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea to share those kinds of comments with the people you know while they're still alive. So I do that from time to time. I need to do it more. I did some of it today, actually, right before recording this podcast. I thought to myself, you know what? I've been thinking about this for a long time. Let me just read one of them to you. So you can get an example. I think examples can be very powerful. If you can see how someone else did it, it might give you an idea of what you might say. So I've got a friend who's an extremely ambitious individual, very, very ambitious guy, hardworking, success-oriented. He runs multiple businesses. I've known the guy for, I want to say, something like 8 years, 7 years, something to that effect. So, but with that said, he does a great job of balancing his ambition with his family. He does a very good job of that. So he has three kids now. Before I knew him when he didn't have, I knew him when he had no kids. So it's been great for me to see that transition from someone who is all about work and success and ambition. And when he's got kids, he carves out plenty of time regularly every week to spend quality time with his family. So I sent him the following message today. He posted a video. This is cute. He posts a video of his youngest baby, almost not quite newborn, but maybe 1 year old, sitting in the, you know, those chairs with wheels. What do you call those chairs? Like a high chair, is that right? What the babies eat. They'll sit there to eat. So he's got his 4 year old who's pushing the newborn or the youngest in this chair with wheels and pushing him very fast through the hallway, and the baby's just laughing, and the four-year-old thinks it's hilarious. And so I sent him this text. I said, one of the most heartwarming and inspiring things about you is that you balance your hard work and ambition with quality time with your family. Keep it up, man! Exclamation mark. Things like that, right? Things like that. Doing that more often is something everyone can start doing immediately with friends, family, people you know, acquaintances, old friends. That's something we can do at scale. That's something the best of us, I mean, not even the best of us, I think it's reasonably easy to do that 4 times a day, 5 times a day, and that would make a really big difference in many people's lives, I think, anyway. So that's something I want to do more. I'm not doing enough of it. I've been thinking about it for a while, and so I thought I'd share it on the podcast and share that idea out with the listeners. All right, it's 3:04 at night. That's past my bedtime. I usually sleep at about 2:30 at night, so it's about half an hour too late. So, I don't know. It is what it is. It's not a big deal. I get to sleep in a little bit tomorrow, so I'll be able to still get my sleep. Have a wonderful rest of your guys' night or morning or day or whatever it is for you. And we'll chat soon. Bye-bye.